Well, folks. Yes, my name is Wesley Preeb, or at least I'm impersonating Wesley Preeb here on West Preeb Day. Yes, indeed, and I'm here to greet all those who came to Holden today and say goodbye to all of you who must leave tomorrow. Yes, but first, we have some folks. I guess they probably went fishing out at Heart Lake or something. Lauren and Wes Hendrickson, have you returned from Heart Lake? Good, yes. Yes, we're so glad you're here and back with us this evening. Yes, indeed. Thank you for being a part of Holden Village.
Thank you, Wes. My name is Marcus. I serve the village as one of the pastors. Welcome to worship. This evening, our worship is entitled "Let the Children Come," and it centers around story and song. This evening, you don't need any kind of a hymnal or a paper or anything like that. All of our music that we'll be singing this evening is paperless, and we are very, very glad and grateful to have Rabbi Johanna Kinberg from the Kol Ami congregation. It's a Reform Jewish congregation in Woodinville, Washington. So we are very, very grateful to have her this evening as our storyteller. I've been asked by our resident fire marshal that if we do have folks who are around the edges who are looking for a seat, we do have open chairs over here. You're not part of the choir if you're sitting over here, but please, please be conscious of fire exits and things like that with chairs. So, after we take a moment to breathe deeply and collect ourselves for worship, I invite you into this space wholeheartedly.
This is a song from Natalie Perkins, who was part of our teaching staff earlier this summer. Could you play me a D? Because it's going to work better for all of us if it's in D. Thank you. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, you are in me, we are in God. I am in you, you are in God. I am in you, you are in me, we are in God.
One more time.
I am in you, you are in me, we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God. I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in God.
So it turns out for this story that I need a hand drill, but I don't have a hand drill with me. I didn't bring mine. So I'm going to ask you all, at a certain point, I'm going to press an invisible button, and I'm going to invite you to turn on the floor on your little pillows or on your tushy. It's up to you. Around as though you are a hand drill drilling a hole in the floor, okay? You'll know. I'll tell you when to do it. Once there was a kingdom everyone called paradise. It was called paradise not because it was any more beautiful or any richer than any other place, but because the way that the people lived there, it was because they cared for one another. In this kingdom, if a friend needed something from a friend, someone always stepped forward to help without even being asked. And if a neighbor needed something from a neighbor, someone would respond cheerfully and graciously without ever asking for anything in return. And if a stranger needed something, people came forward to help with hospitality, generosity, and kindness. All of this was because of the wise king. The king knew that his subjects would treat one another the way he treated them. So he was always careful and attentive and helpful. If he couldn't help someone, he would at least listen and express his concern. At last, the king grew old, as they do, and he appointed his son, the prince, to rule in his place when the time came. And soon the king died, and the prince assumed the throne. But the prince was not wise like his father, nor was he kind, nor did he treat people the way his father did. The royal ministers would approach the prince and declare, "Your Majesty, we have a terrible problem. There's a famine in the corner of the land, and the people there are starving. We must do something." "They're starving," the prince said impatiently. "Yes, starving. They have no food to feed their children." "But I have plenty of food," responded the prince, biting into a big apple from a bowl of fruit before him. "If they're starving, I'm sorry, but it's not my problem." "Perhaps your majesty did not understand. People are suffering, and they haven't any food. They'll die if we do nothing." "Well, it's not my problem," said the prince. "It's just not my problem." The ministers shook their head in disbelief and slowly walked away. Just then, another group of royal messengers approached the throne. "Your Majesty, we have a terrible situation. The river has become poisoned, and the people who are living along the banks have no water to drink. We must help them." "No water?" asked the prince, even more impatiently as he poured himself a large glass of water. "Yes, Your Majesty, there's no water. People are dying of thirst." "But I have plenty of water," responded the prince, holding up his glass. "I'm sorry, but it's not my problem." No one in the royal court seemed able to move the prince. Every problem that was presented to him met with the same bothered look and the same response. "I'm sorry, but it's not my problem." Before long, everyone in the kingdom was acting like the prince. When a friend needed help from another friend, or a neighbor needed a hand from a neighbor, the one who was beseeched would look bothered and respond, "You need help? Well, I'm sorry, but that's not my problem." And since they refused to help one another, they certainly refused to help strangers. Soon the kingdom had changed completely. It was no longer paradise. It was a wilderness, a wasteland. Soon, no one remembered the way things had been. No one remembered the paradise that the kingdom once was. No one but one fisherman. The fisherman remembered the old king and the way the things used to be, and it hurt him that everyone had become so selfish as the young prince. If only he could remind the people and teach them. But what could one old fisherman do? Then one day, he thought of a solution. He gathered all his money and brought all the tools and the paints and materials he had, and he set to work fixing up his old fishing boat. He would turn it into a yacht, the most beautiful yacht in the whole harbor. The fishermen worked hard. Each day, people came by and admired the boat. "Hey, fishermen," they'd say, "when you're done, will you take us for a ride on your yacht?" "Sure," he said, "everyone will be invited." It took him a year to finish his work. When the yacht was ready, fishermen made a huge sign and posted it for all to see. He invited everyone to come for a ride on the lake to celebrate the yacht's first voyage. Everyone came that Sunday morning, even the prince. It was splendid. It was a clear day. The sun shone warmly and the lake was calm. Fisherman guided his yacht out onto the lake, and when he reached the middle of the lake, far from the shore, he dropped the anchor and invited everyone to enjoy themselves. His guests brought out their picnic baskets and their fishing poles, and everyone had a wonderful day by the lake. Late in the afternoon, the wind picked up, and the waves rocked the boat. "Fishermen, can we head home now?" his guests asked. "Sure," said the fisherman. "There's just one thing I need to do." And he opened up his toolbox, and he brought out his large hand drill. This is where you all come in. He walked to the exact center of the boat, positioned the drill on the hull, and he began to drill. So I'm pressing my button, bzz, and you guys go round and round. And you're going to drill, drill, drill. "Say, fisherman, stop." People ask, "What are you doing?" "I'm drilling a hole." "But why are you drilling a hole?" "Why? Because it's a nice day for drilling holes," he responded nonchalantly. "But fisherman, if you drill a hole in the boat, water will rush in. The boat will sink and we'll all drown," they said. As he continued drilling, the passengers began to cry. "Fisherman, please stop. You must stop." "Nope," said the fisherman. "It's my boat, my drill, and I'm going to drill the hole." Someone remembered that the prince was on board. "Get the prince," he shouted. "Someone get the prince. He'll save us." The prince swaggered over. No lowly fisherman was going to ruin his afternoon. He stood over the fisherman in his royal robes, and a hush came over the very frightened crowd. "Fisherman, what are you doing?" he asked in his deepest, most commanding voice. "I'm drilling a hole," responded the fisherman, moving the drill around and around. "Why are you doing this?" asked the prince in his deep and princely tone. "Because I feel like it," responded the fisherman without even looking up at the prince. "Fisherman, if you make a hole in the boat will sink, and we will all drown." "Uh-huh," answered the fisherman. Small beads of sweat appeared on the brow of the prince, and his voice lost its commanding tone and took on that of a sincerely worried man. "Fisherman," he said, "I command you to stop." Fisherman ignored him and kept drilling. Prince was quickly losing his composure. Gone was the royal tone. "Fisherman, what gives you the right to do this?" And the fisherman explained slowly, "It's my boat, it's my drill, and I'm going to make a hole. Now please move aside, you're blocking my light." And he continued drilling. And the prince began crying and pleading, like everyone else, "Please stop, we don't want to drown. We don't want to be eaten by the fish. Please, fisherman." And when the prince began to cry, fisherman at last stopped drilling. Yet a hush came over the crowd, and the fisherman looked up at the prince. "You don't want the boat to sink? You don't want to drown?" The fisherman echoed the prince's pleas, and then the fisherman slowly repeated the terrible words that had ruined the kingdom. "Well, I'm sorry, but it's not my problem." And the prince cried desperately, "What do you mean it's not your problem? Anyone can see that if I have a problem, you have a problem. And if I have a problem, if anyone has a problem, then everyone has a problem because we're all on the same boat." And the prince stopped like a man who had just figured out a great riddle, and he repeated the word slowly, "If I have a problem, you have a problem. And if you have a problem, I have a problem. And if anyone has a problem, then everyone has a problem because we're all in the same boat. Anyone can see that." "Yes," said the fisherman, "anyone can see that." "Yes," said everybody on the boat, "anyone can see that." And the fisherman smiled, "Now we can go home." He pulled the drill up out of the hull, turned the boat around, and sailed safely to the harbor. The people who got off the boat were changed. Never, ever again would friend turn to friend, or neighbor turn to neighbor, or anyone turn to a stranger and say those terrible words. Instead, whenever a friend needed help from a friend, or a neighbor needed help from a neighbor, or a stranger needed kindness, that whenever anyone came before the prince, he or she would hear, "Please, let me help you. Because if I have a problem, you have a problem. And if I have a problem, you have a problem. And if anyone has a problem, then everyone has a problem. You see," says the prince, "we're all in the same boat." And once again, the kingdom was paradise. Thank you.
I invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the manifold witness of those in our midst, for the young voices, for the old voices, for the voices that come from afar and the voices that are near to us. We give you thanks. Send now your spirit of gentleness, warmth, and love. Send us into this night with goodness and courage. Amen.
Amen.
May the God of the fishermen, may the God of the prince, and may the God of communities everywhere, the God who calls us by name, who calls us out of fear, watch over us and rest with us this night. Amen.
Amen.
Do not fear, I have redeemed you. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. I have called you by name, you are mine. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine.
Go in peace to love and serve the living God. Thanks be to God.